Welcome to The Living Waters, a daily source of inspiration and clarity from Scripture. Pastor Gary Finch connects God's Word to our everyday lives, helping us find strength, purpose, and peace in the gospel of Jesus. It's a journey into faith that will undoubtedly nourish your spirit and anchor your soul in the beauty of salvation found only in Christ. Now, our host, Gary Finch.
The scripture I want to cover today is the letters from Paul and Timothy to the Philippians. And I have a couple of scriptures I want to go along with this to help us to try to understand what it's talking about and what we need to do with that information. So, all right, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, I'm reading from Philippians 4:4-9. I got a little note here that says, "Don't worry," which pretty well sums it up. Verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made and known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen from me. Practice these things, and in God of peace will be with you." So, in America today, everybody seems to be worried and stressed. The scripture tells us not to do that. In other places, it tells us that there's nothing we can do about what's coming tomorrow. And what happened yesterday is gone. Don't worry and stress yourself out. Do the right things, say the right things, and speak in truth. Whatever you've got to talk, there's no need in telling stories or exaggerating things to try to impress people. We're not here on this earth to impress people anyway. Now, kind of going along with this, I'm going to look at Hebrews 10, starting at verse 21, and it says, "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled with clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and in good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remain sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the ones who had trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' interesting things I see in this one is, number one, the last thing I read, we need to be aware of this in today's churches. He will start the judgment in the church. The judgment will start in the what we're calling the house of God. We need to ensure that that truly is what we are doing. I have a couple of people that like to remind me periodically, and I hope they're defending me. They usually do it in a group somewhere. The scripture also tells us that those that choose to preach and teach and lead a congregation would be judged more harshly. So let that kind of sink into your mind and your heart. The church will be judged first, and those that leading it will be judged more harshly. It's not like having a job down at the convenience store. You've made a contract with God to lead these people and teach these people, and He expects you to put it together and do it, not haphazardly. It's becoming common today for people to go to AI and tell them what scripture they want and let AI put a sermon together for them. That's not what we were called to do. That's not what we were called to do. You need guidance to go through and do the work of a pastor, as a shepherd. That guidance comes from the Holy Spirit, not artificial intelligence you found on your iPhone. Okay, so be careful of that. It talks a little bit about meeting together and stirring up the love and the efforts of each other. This is something that I'm real big on, is small groups. Pastor comes before the congregation on Sunday morning, and depending on how tolerant they are and how fascinated they are with music, he preaches about 20 minutes. He can't teach you the whole Bible. You've got to go to the scripture and read it and study it and come to an understanding of it. And as I do these spots, I'm going to try to join a couple of scriptures together to show you why it's important to look around. Now, this is one place I believe in using and making good use of the sources we have today, and the electronics and the internet and what have, is today you can instantly take a good Bible app and put in a message, keywords, and it'll take you to scriptures all through the Bible that will help you to understand what a particular scripture is talking about if it's not plain as it is written. So I'm going to look at a couple of other ones here. In fact, I think Matthew 24 probably tells us in the most plain, simple language. I'm looking at Matthew 24:13. I'll start at 12. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. We should get out of bed every morning looking forward to that time. Now, the scripture says only a fool is wishing and hoping for the end to come, because there's going to be some hard times. But as we're going about doing God's work, we should have our eyes on the time that Christ will return. And you can get all kind of different theories, and people will talk about different subjects on the end times. I love it. I mean, I've been reading, looking, studying the end times for 25 years or so. I'm going to tell you, there's one short little verse in the Bible that says all prophecy will be fulfilled. If this book tells you it's coming in the end, it's coming, and it's going to happen. And it don't have to be scary, because you go all the way through the book of Revelation, and all the judgments and all the curses, or whatever you want to call them, that are going to come up, and the events that are going to happen, in the end we win. So study it, be prepared, and be ready to endure to the end in your faith and your understanding of God, and to share it with other people. And it says the gospel I like the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world. We've got people, lots of people, lots of preachers, lots of teachers today saying, we've done that. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we ain't done that. We ain't done that. We got some satellite programs going out preaching messages, and we got different ministries in different parts of the world sharing the word and the gospel of the kingdom. And the person next door is on the way to hell. You got to help preach it. And not everybody is called to be a preacher, but all Christians are called to be evangelists and to share the word of God. So, just as he said in Philippians 4, don't worry about the things that you can't control. God is in control. And let him be in control, and you be about God's work doing the other things. The things we worry about are so insane. The older you get, the easier it is to stop worrying about them, unless you're paranoid about dying. And there ain't no need being paranoid about that. If you know Jesus Christ, that's a brief transition. So folks, get out there, spread the word, encourage each other, lift each other up and help them. If I wanted to go further on this, the Bible lists us about 12 gifts of the Spirit that the church has. Somebody in the church has all those gifts. Some people don't want to know, and others don't recognize and understand their gift. But we are all given these gifts for the edification of the church, and you need to help those around you recognize theirs and understand their gift and put those into effort. So stop worrying about what you're going to eat and how you're going to retire and whether that $60,000 truck you just bought is going to last to the end of it. Everything will be okay. He knows what you need. He'll provide what you need. You need to start providing first. Bring the tithes and the first fruits and a tithe of your time. Somebody recently calculated it up for me and told me that if you tithe 10% of your time, it would only be a couple of hours a week. A couple of hours a week. I spend that much time searching through television channels. Get up out of the chair and go do something. All right? So I hope that this scripture will put you to thinking and help you to understand some things and where we need to be as compared to where we are. So you have a blessed day, and I hope to speak to you again before long.
That was Living Waters with Pastor Gary Fench, a daily dose of faith, clarity, and inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, keep seeking truth and walking in his light, and join us again tomorrow or log on to catch Pastor Gary's past episodes on WVFFradio.com. Thanks again for staying tuned to 97.7 FM, Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.